What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me turn my talk. Here we go.
He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that.
My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, yes. Welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. With me, Dramos. Of course, I feel like I'm saying this every episode, but I genuinely appreciate all the support I've been getting on this podcast. I wasn't sure kind of what the reaction would be like and if people would really fuck with it. And man, it's just been growing every single episode. I've been seeing like the DMs and the shares and the tweets and all that stuff. And man, y'all are amazing. Thank y'all so much. I'm so happy to see that, you know, I was right about not like feeling like I was the only one out there kind of, you know, going through these sort of emotions or even just like seeing life through this perspective, man. So it's just, man, amazing to kind of see this little community that we're building up. Please keep reaching out via social media. I appreciate you guys. All the feedback has been greatly appreciated. And with that said, let's start getting into today's episode. I'm really excited to talk about this one because I feel like I touched on this a little bit in the first episode when I had my parents on. But I want to kind of really dive into it a little bit more because I feel like it does deserve its own episode and its own sort of focus. And that is this idea of being the black sheep of your family. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I had some crazy, difficult upbringing when it comes to my parents and like them never showing me love or something like that. I mean, I've read cases when I was doing research for this topic about, you know, extreme versions of like somebody being the black sheep of their family. But for me personally, it was more so the lack of sort of support and understanding of where I was coming from and the things that I was trying to do. But I've also heard plenty of stories from people in my life who really have gone through it as feeling like they are, you know, the outcast of their family. I saw the response that I was getting on Instagram from a lot of you guys. So definitely something that I feel like touches a lot of people. And it's often very easy to kind of feel like you're alone in this, you know, and to not really feel like you sort of have anybody that understands you. So definitely this is one of those episodes where I want to touch on a topic that I feel like we often feel very alone with and make sure that we remind each other that, man, we are not alone in the things we feel. Like, there's definitely people out there who can relate to our circumstances. So that's what this episode is all about. Of course, later on, I'll share some of that feedback I was getting via my Instagram with our Ask a Gringo section where I take your questions and answers. Of course, you guys are as big a part of the show as I am. So at DJ Dramos, if you want to get involved. But before that, let's start things off as we always do, where we take a bit of a deep dive into our topic with a section that we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Back. Say it louder for the people in the back.
Now, I like to include little tidbits about my own personal story in this section. I definitely will get into a bit of my own personal feelings and things like that. But before that, I wanted to kind of, get with some of the experts and people who sort of do this for a living and kind of get some clear definition and some more common circumstances that tend to happen on this topic of being the black sheep or the outcast of your family. Now, I found this article on a website called We Have Kids. It was written by Victoria Ristenbat and Scott Redding. And they're sort of describing what exactly the black sheep of the family might be. And they say that he or she may be more creative, sensitive, or risk-seeking than the rest of the family. He or she's lifestyle and values may set them apart, and they may face personal struggles that others do not in the family. And no matter how hard he or she may try, they just don't blend in with the rest of the family. And as I read that, I can't help but be like, damn, they are looking into my fucking soul right now. Because I relate to that on so many, you know, levels. I mean, I didn't want to hop into my own story so soon, but definitely for me being, you know, more of the creative type than the rest of my family was, you know, and being a little bit more in touch with my feelings and also being unafraid to sort of take risks to get the things that I want. Like, that created a lot of friction when it came to my family and overall just how they saw me. And, you know, like my mom had kind of said in the first episode, talking about like it raised a certain fear in her, you know, and she was basically, you know, pushing back and essentially trying to save me from a life that she thought would yield negative things for me. She was just trying to protect me. And I'll dive into that a little bit more. Like I said, I want to kind of get through some of these articles as well from the experts. I also pulled up an article that I found to be very interesting. It was from Forbes.com, and they had a woman named Elizabeth Dorrance Hall, who is an assistant professor of communication at Utah State University. And she's actually published a bunch of research talking about black sheep and challenging family relationships. She actually prefers to call the black sheep of the family marginalized family members. Definitely a very PC way to say it, but it makes perfect sense. And she talks about in her research, I mean, when it comes down to family, and this is pretty obvious, but family provides, you know, most people with the sense of identity, you know, like a place and a connection. And it's definitely, you know, no surprise that when you're not getting that from your family, it very much feels like you are alone in this world. And I think yields this feeling of like not knowing who you are. It's definitely something that I went through. She also goes on to say that it's also human nature for members of a family to alienate or marginalize the family member who acts differently than others. There's a feeling that making them feel like they're doing something wrong might help them see the error in their thinking and quote unquote, bring them back into the group. And she goes on to say like, you know, this isn't something that's just in families, but says it's not just families that do this. If you have a coworker who is showing up late every day, you might marginalize that person to teach him or her that it is not acceptable, she said. It's kind of like what I was talking about with my mom, you know, in my own personal experience. I mean, this is like, you know, hitting me so hard as I'm reading all this stuff. And, I guess I'll just dive into my own experiences. There's one more thing I want to get into from this article, but I do want to kind of talk about this because like I mentioned, my mom had talked about kind of when she was hoping that these things wouldn't pan out for me when it comes to my career and chasing like a job in the entertainment industry. For her, it was more so feeling like she needed to protect me from something, right? Like I was going down this path that was going to get me into, you know, negative spaces with negative people and might yield me down, you know, for her. And her mind was like this idea of like substance abuse and all the debauchery that she's seen on television that comes along working in the entertainment industry. But what she kind of failed to realize, and my parents and what a lot of parents, I think, they ought to realize, and listen, it's no fault to them. I've said this, you know, before that as much as it's easy to kind of blame our parents for a lot of these things, it's like, man, there was no handbook for it. And they really are doing the best they can. And if you have a family who doesn't have any experience, like for me in the entertainment industry, they're just going to go based off of what they've seen on TV and kind of like heard about, you know, there's nothing else for them to see. So if what they're seeing on TV is like rock stars ODing and like, you know, and having all kinds of like crazy, you know, promiscuous sex or losing their money or whatever crazy shit that comes along with that, of course, that's what they're going to associate it with. You know, I don't blame them for that. Now, for me, growing up, you know, music was something I found very early on that like gave me this feeling like nothing else. You know, like I would spend hours in my parents' basement, man, just like creating, making music, trying to mess with things on the computer. Always just like hours and hours and hours. Like this was like my safe haven, especially as I get older. And then you started having like some of the earlier social networking sites and it had like different band profiles and artist profiles. And I was just like discovering new music and watching interviews and all these different things. And it was something that I became obsessed with because for whatever reason, it's something that related to me, you know, the idea of creating, you know, the idea of like this non-traditional life of not clocking in to a job 9 to 5. Like, there was something special about that. The idea of connecting with strangers based upon the art that you create. Like, I don't know, there was something that was so beautiful to me. And it's funny because the deeper I kind of dove into this feeling and this love, the more this gap that I had between my parents seemed to grow. And listen, like I said, I understand, like, they want the best for me. You know, they want me to have what they believe is an ideal lifestyle, you know, of the house and the family and all these different things. And listen, at the end of the day, as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate all of those things, but I want them my way, you know, and this definitely caused so much friction, you know, even like dropping out of college like a couple times, you know what I mean? And I can remember like my parents just being so disappointed, especially I remember, I think it was like the first time was I was going to go on tour, you know, with my band. And I wanted to just have that free time to do so. And I believe I dropped out of college twice. The second time was similar, you know, really getting again into my band and wanting to go chase this dream of doing music, getting to travel the country in doing so. And at the end of the day, God bless my parents, because, you know, they never like threatened to kick me out of the house if I didn't shape up or something like that. There was never any like, you know, if you live under this house, you're going to either have a job or go to school and you're paying rent. There was never no shit like that. You know, it was, my parents were cool. Like, I really have to give it to them. Like, they allowed me to be creative in their basement and all those different things. But definitely on an emotional level, I felt very disconnected to the world that I had around me. And the only time I felt connected to it was when I was around people who shared my similar interests. You know, when I was around my musician and artist friends doing the whole band thing, traveling, that's when I truly felt at home and I truly felt at peace. And I could always remember like coming home from tour, and it would be like if I came home in the middle of the night and the house would be like quiet, I always just felt this immediate feeling of like dread when I walked in the door of like my parents' house. Like, I just felt so alone, you know what I mean? Like the post-vacation depression that happens when you come home after like a vacation and you get kind of depressed, you know what I'm saying? Thinking about like this time last week, I was, you know, on a beach, whatever. You know, things like that. Like, that's how I would feel whenever I came home. And it's just because I had this like lack of community, right? Like that article talks about that, you know, like oftentimes our sense of identity comes from our families. That's what they provide. And when we don't feel that, it's like you feel so damn alone. I can't tell you how many nights I spent in my parents' basement just like depressed and like feeling like nobody understood me, you know, and how many like conversations I had to try and have convincing my parents of you know what I was trying to do and like my plan, which made so much sense to me, and them just not understanding, or like even worse, like when I would start having like these different accomplishments happening in my life because they had like no familiarity with, you know, the entertainment industry. They couldn't really grasp how big some of the things I was doing were, you know. Even like as I progressed out of the band and like started DJing and doing radio things and all that kind of stuff, it was like they never really fully understood. It was always just kind of like, oh, well, how much are they paying you to do it? And that was like a question that would drive me fucking crazy. Because anybody that knows kind of the come up of like working in a creative field, a lot of times you're not getting paid. Or if you are getting paid, it's not very much money, you know? So that would always be the first question. And it would always be the most deflating fucking question in the world. Like, I would feel like shit about myself. Like, I'd be so excited to like share with somebody like, hey, I'm going to be in this magazine this week, or I'm going to be like, you know, DJing on the radio. And they're like, oh, how much are they paying you? And it was like, they just took the wind out of my sails. But for me, things like that kind of forced me to go even like deeper and deeper into my own isolation. Like, I started to stop sharing these great moments with my family because I knew that when I would, it would just take away any sense of happiness that I was getting from that thing. You know, it would be like the most humbling experience. I'd be so excited about something I've been working so hard on, and the second that I told them, they would just take away all that excitement. So like, there was definitely a bit of a strain at one point, I would say, in my early 20s with my family, specifically my father, I can remember, where I really just didn't like them. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have a very good relationship with them. And I think a lot of it did stem from that. Feeling like whenever I would share something with them, they would immediately kind of tear me down. And it definitely sort of made me like shut down a bit when it came to my feelings and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting, I think it was such a shock for my parents because my sister was like the polar opposite. You know what I mean? Like, my sister was very quiet in school, as where I was like the clown, always getting in trouble, always getting detention. You know, my sister, you know, went to college and she got a job teaching, and, you know, she got married and had the kids and they had a house and all that kind of stuff. Like, this very much more like traditional sort of life, and it's beautiful and it works for her for sure. But for me, it just never made sense. And then, and my parents couldn't grasp why I couldn't just be more like my sister, or even like some of my friends that I grew up with who did go the traditional route of college, family, marriage, kids, all that kind of stuff. Like my parents would always play this comparison game. And again, I think it's this thing of like where it's kind of like what Dorrance Hall was referencing, where your family will often make you feel like you're doing something wrong in hopes that you'll quote unquote see the error of your ways, right? So it's like they're shaming you into sort of like seeing things their way. And we'll get into it even deeper in a second, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama. And when reflecting on what matters most, I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we are back. And I want to get into something about siblings, because I feel like anybody who's had siblings or even like super close friends, you could definitely relate to this, because they're actually in this article in Forbes, they talk about this sort of phenomena of the black sheep versus the golden child of the family. Now, if you ask my sister, she would probably say that I was the quote unquote golden child of the family, even though it definitely doesn't feel like that. But I think also in like Latin culture, the boys are always like held up on this pedestal. So that just kind of, I think, gets carried down a lot of times when with like our parents in the Latin community, where like, you know, the boy is like always kind of being tended to, you know. So I think that's partially what my sister kind of would feel if I were to ask her about it. But back to this idea of like the golden child, this idea of the real golden child. I mean, Dorrance goes on to say, and I quote, "We often talk about family as having a black sheep and a golden child as the two big roles among siblings. And it feels to a lot of people like someone needs to fill those roles." So it's like it's almost like this human nature that we like create this caste system. And it's interesting because that's like something we see in all aspects of life, even when you want to get into like race and racism and all these different things, or even sexism when it comes to men and women. It's like we're always trying to categorize people. And it's interesting that like studies show that this even happens inside of a family dynamic. Like that article I was talking about, We Have Kids, they also go on to say, talking about like the black sheep, like the black sheep effect refers to the psychological phenomenon which members of a group judge fellow group members more critically than they do those who fall outside the group, right? So like your golden child is going to get judged far less than the quote unquote black sheep. That article goes on to say, thus a disliked group member is judged more harshly. We want group members to fit in because their behavior reflects upon our own identity, and family members who don't conform attract negative attention. I want to stew on this a little bit because it's also something that I've often felt, right? Like, you know how parents like talk to one another, like, oh, you know, they run into like each other in like the local fucking CVS and it's like, oh, how's Billy doing? You know, and then they give this whole spiel. Oh, he's great. You know, he just graduated. Him and his fiance Suzanne just—they bought a nice little condo in the suburbs, so he's doing great. And then they like pose the question to your parents, like, "Oh, well, how is such and such doing?" And I think this is the moment that like parents dread when it comes to having someone like myself in their family, because it's like, "Oh, well, you know, he's DJing local dive bars while working on the radio for free." It's like, there's no fucking way to say that in like a proud voice. You know what I mean? So, and I can only imagine that's got to be a bit fucking awkward as a parent. You know, like everybody wants to be able to brag about their kids. And I just think social dynamics, like we all like want to look great when we're facing outwardly towards the world. And I think that that is why we also get a lot of the reaction we get from our parents. Those of us who kind of feel like, you know, the outcast of our family is because they feel like we are a negative reflection of them. It's like, you know, and even again, back to my parents, my situation, like both of my parents, college graduates, you know what I mean? Like my mom was a principal and she's even said like when I would be getting in trouble in school and she would have to come in, she would be so embarrassed that as a teacher and eventually as a principal that her son was a problem child in the school. So when you think about it in that way, a lot of it does make sense, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, we're all human, right? And we're all fighting our ego. And I can't like judge parents necessarily for that to a degree because I think we're all battling our ego, you know, and I think that society does tend to make us feel like we have to be doing certain things or our kids have to be doing certain things or it's a bad reflection on them as a parent. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that because you're so concerned with like what, you know, your neighbor Richard down the street might think of your kid if you tell them that like he just dropped out of college for the second time, like myself. That shouldn't be like why you end up treating your kid like shit. And not to say that that's what happened to me, but I definitely think like if I would really ask my parents about it, there was like a small part of them that like felt really disappointed that they didn't necessarily have like these bragging rights when they would run into like my high school friend's parents in the store or something like that. As dumb as that sounds, but it also kind of does make sense. It's a similar like high school reunion effect, you know, where like you want to be like out your high school reunion, like talk about all the cool shit that you've been doing in your life, you know? But unfortunately, you know, when you're not careful with that kind of stuff, it does cause your kids to feel very isolated, especially if you're talking about this golden child and black sheep kind of dynamic. It's like, I'd imagine, and I definitely felt to a degree, like, you know, where you would internalize it, like, why can't I just be normal like so-and-so, like my sister, like my brother, like whomever, like my friend down the street, you know? There would be like this guilt and shame. I know that for me, that would come across at times. Like, why can't I just be happy like everybody else taking the normal route? You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to take the stairs while everybody else is taking the fucking elevator? You know what I mean? Like, why can't I just be satisfied standing in the elevator? And that's definitely something that like, oh, man, weighed heavy on me for a very, very, very long time. Like I said before, a lot of like nights spent in my parents' basement working on stuff and also a lot of depressed nights, like feeling like I was so alone in this world, you know what I mean? And like feeling like there was something wrong with me because I did not fit in or did not find any enjoyment or had any interest in this sort of quote unquote normal life that everybody else seemed to be participating in and more than happy to be participating in. And of course, you know, as I've said before, as you get older, you begin to understand some of these dynamics, you know, a bit more. But as a kid and a teenager and even young adult, I can definitely tell you that like, a lot of this stuff affected my confidence, you know? When I was very young, I was very loud, outspoken. I had no problem being in front of a class and all these different things and like being the center of attention. And then I know as I got older, probably because I was beginning to be shamed for kind of having this bigger personality and this non-traditional sort of mindset, I was being shamed for that. It definitely made me feel very self-conscious. And I think I definitely lost a lot of that confidence that I had as a kid. You know, it's something I still struggle with till this day. You know, I'm not like the person who's going to go light up a room, you know what I mean? Like with my big personality and things like that. Like I still to this day want to feel things out a little bit and it takes me a little bit to really get comfortable. And the times that I do know I have to kind of like turn it on if I'm at an event, you know, and I have to be that focal point, it is sort of a bit of faking, you know what I mean? I do have to tap into another part of myself and kind of like mentally psych myself up to do so. And I really do think a lot of that was because I definitely, you know, lost a lot of confidence growing up and didn't feel very secure in who I was, because I had so many people telling me that the things I was doing and the way I was feeling was just wrong and not the right way to be doing things. But in the end, I also am very grateful for this experience of being sort of this outcast, because I kind of used it as like my superpower right now. Like last episode, I talked about being unapologetically yourself, right? And like all these great people in history who were unapologetically themselves and are now legends because of it, because they stood out from a crowd. And not to like boast myself up here as being something special, but I definitely think that kind of having gone through the trials and tribulations of kind of never feeling like I fit in and always feeling like I was being judged, it definitely helped me grow kind of thicker skin to when it comes to sort of not being, you know, someone who fits in and sort of celebrating myself. And listen, I'm not perfect. I still sometimes get trapped in like those old feelings of like wanting to be a part of the quote unquote cool crowd and wanting to be accepted by these people. But definitely as I've gotten older and more recently, I've been able to check myself and understand that like in those moments where I am sort of getting a lot of like pushback and people are sort of making me feel weird about not fitting in, that's when I know I'm onto something. Like I've trained my brain to kind of be like, yo, like the second you're doing things and people aren't seeming to catch on right away or they're not understanding, you're probably onto something new and original and really fucking cool. And you probably should begin to explore that even more and even further. I mean, shit, this podcast is living proof of that. It goes against everything that people tell you, you know, if you're like representing the Latin community, it goes against everything that, you know, you're told you have to be or how you have to be, right? I talk about that all the time. Like this podcast is living proof of that. And I do want to actually focus in on a few other people that I find to kind of be heroes in that space that I always look to when it comes to sort of this idea of the black sheep, not necessarily maybe just black sheep of their family, but also just like black sheep of their particular industry. And we'll do that in our Mi Gente section. All right, so I quickly wanted to talk about some people that I personally look up to as kind of being like these outcasts. And again, not necessarily just like when it comes to their family dynamic. I don't really know all of their family backgrounds, but specifically people I look up to when it comes to sort of being these weird, quote unquote, outcasts in their industry, right? Like one person that immediately comes to mind is somebody like Bad Bunny. I mean, listen, the first time I saw Bad Bunny, like a picture of Bad Bunny, he was wearing like the shortest cut off denim booty shorts I've ever seen a man wear. And it was just like, I remember looking like, who the fuck is this weirdo? But also it's like the thing you grow to love about him because he just does not give a fuck. And that's a huge reason. Obviously he's incredibly talented and his music is groundbreaking, but also him as an artist, him as like a visual representation is so groundbreaking. That's also what makes him stand out amongst other Latin artists. You know, it's the fact that he's so unafraid to go there. He's so original. I mean, remember when he was dressed up in drag for the video for Yo Perreo Sola, like everybody was like on his shit about that, but like the video blew up and it's like, man, people look at him like, yo, this is why he's a legend. He's unafraid to go there. He's unafraid to be himself, painting the nails and doing everything else, right? And now that's becoming a bit of the norm, but like he made it the norm. You know what I mean? Like him being that weirdo made him stand out in a very, very saturated space, you know? And him being like this weird kind of outcast now eventually ends up becoming cool, ironically, to like the majority. So that's definitely somebody I look at in those moments where I'm kind of maybe doubting myself or feeling a little bit self-conscious because I'm kind of putting myself out there a little bit too much in a way that brings a lot of different eyes on me. Somebody else I look to is like Prince. I mean, let's be real. Like the man was shopping in the women's section of clothing stores, you know what I'm saying, while simultaneously like having the most beautiful women, you know, surrounding him at all times and just absolutely crushing it. You know what I mean? And like wearing these colors, you know, purple that were supposed to be quote unquote, you know, female colors and things like that. Like, you know, stuff like that is incredible to see. And it's somebody who, you know, if you saw walking down the street, a random person, you'd be like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? But it's like, yo, that's Prince. That's what made him so amazing. And like, aside from, of course, again, being an incredible musician, that's one of the things that makes him stand out. It's like embracing this like weirdness and this idea that you don't really fit in. That's what ends up making everybody kind of love you, I feel like, at the end of the day. That's what makes you a legend or a pioneer. I mean, shit, I love Dennis Rodman for those reasons. You know, like thinking about, you know, somebody in the NBA, like this hyper masculine type of energy of like jocks, and the dude is putting on dresses and like dressing in drag and wearing makeup and painting his nails and his hair and weird piercings and tattoos at a time when that wasn't the norm, you know, and hanging out at like gay clubs and people really questioning so many different things about him because he was so different in this sport, you know, in the NBA. But again, that is what made him larger than life. Like, that's what made him Dennis Rodman, who beyond just being a great basketball player, now became something so much bigger than that, because he stood out so much, because he was truly embracing his uniqueness or his weirdness. And he was like celebrating the fact that he was like the black sheep of the world that he existed in. And all these people that I've mentioned, like, I'm sure they got so much shit. I mean, even if you look at like, I think I've heard Dennis Rodman say this, where one of his former teammates was like, why can't you just be normal? You know what I mean? Like, when he was looking at him with the painted hair and nails and all that kind of stuff. So I say all of that, I think, just to kind of maybe make people feel a little bit more comfortable in their own skin, right? And understand that these differences that you have are things that should be celebrated, because they are, in fact, the things that will make you stand out from anybody else. And that's just such a beautiful thing that should be celebrated. And this topic definitely touched a nerve with a lot of people, because when I posed the topic on my social media, I got a lot of really deep responses. So I want to make sure I have some time to get into those in our Ask a Gringo segment. But before that, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura Podcast Network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ask a Gringo.
I have a question. All right, so I got some really good responses on this one, so I definitely want to read a few. I asked people on my Instagram, at DJ Dramos, why they are the black sheep of their family. Let me see. At Glamorista8 said, I was for a little because I moved in with my BF, now husband, before marriage. And yeah, this is definitely like a big one, especially if you have like super traditional parents. There are definitely a lot of parents in the Latin community that are like very old school about this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you have to do what makes you happy, right? Like, and even just beyond moving in, like, even when it comes to like who you're dating, you know what I mean? Like, I've heard so many horror stories of like, you know, people's family is not supporting the person they're dating for whatever crazy sort of reason. And at the end of the day, I always look at this kind of stuff as like, as much as it might hurt to not have the support of your family in certain aspects, like, listen, they're not the ones who have to wake up every single day next to this person or in this particular situation. Like, you are. So you just have to do what makes you happy, and you can't, you know, be too concerned with the opinions of others. You know, to me, it says more about their character if it's something like who you're dating or living with somebody before, you know, marriage. If they choose to allow that to, you know, affect their relationship with you, that definitely to me speaks more about their character than it does yours. You know, Anybody that loves you should love you unconditionally, even if you do something that they don't believe in or don't believe, you know, is right. I really am a firm believer that, like, listen, your parents and your family are incredibly important, and there's something that's very high on my priority list. But at the end of the day, I have to make decisions that are based upon my personal happiness, especially when it comes to things like, man, dating and everything that comes along with it, for sure. This one definitely hit me hard. Sal underscore or underscore Chava said, working hard and being a quote unquote good husband is not all I want to be. I'm too creative to just be a provider. My family doesn't understand why I'm not just happy where I'm at. Man, my bro, I would give you a hug if I was with you right now, because things like this, like, shake me to my fucking core, because I know for me, these were like my worst fears in life. Like, being in a job that I hated and just kind of being stuck in this situation that I felt like I couldn't get out of and was not providing me any sort of fulfillment. And I think a lot of it stems from seeing my father go through that. You know, my dad having a job that he really hated, like, the entirety of his career, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't really have a passion for his field. He just didn't have the privilege that I have as far as, like, financial stability from his family, and kind of had to go down this easy route of, like, you know, what can I get a degree in and what will provide me with a job to have an adult life and provide for a family. But man, I can remember just like my dad just coming home every day, just like broken, you know what I mean? Like beat down from a day of just doing shit that he hated, you know, sitting in traffic on a way to a job that he hated, sitting in traffic on his way home from a job that he hated. And like, I saw that and it was like, fuck, I will never, never do that. Because at the end of the day, that also affects, you know, the people around you, you know, because you're not able to show up as the best version of yourself if you are living that kind of life. If you are spending 40 plus hours a week doing something that makes you absolutely miserable, there's no way you're going to have, you know, the best version of yourself to give to the rest of your family. And you're really just cheating them of having the best version of their father, of their husband, brother, sister, mother, whatever the case may be, you know? So man, I definitely feel for you. And it sucks that your family can't seem to get behind some of your creative endeavors. And I think, man, for you, obviously you have a family and you have kids from what you said, and your father and all that kind of stuff. And that's a beautiful thing. I definitely wouldn't take that for granted, but definitely try and make some time for yourself. You know, even if people don't understand it, do some things that fulfill you, do some creative ideas. And what are some creative ideas that provide fulfillment and kind of scratch that itch for you, but don't necessarily like take you away from your responsibilities, you know? Unfortunately, when you have those kinds of responsibilities, you can't kind of like get up and move into like a cabin in the woods somewhere and like write your novel for the next 2 years, you know what I mean? Not worry about anything, you know? You do have to kind of work around the lifestyle that you have, but that doesn't mean that you can't have some sort of creative fulfillment somewhere, and you can't have like a really cool side project that you're really into and that you love, and that you work on your free time that could turn into something huge, or at the very least will just, man, break up the kind of monotony of just having this sort of life that's not fulfilling to you. So I feel for you, man. And I definitely, you know, challenge you to try and just pick up some of those creative hobbies and ignore the words of other people around you who might not see it or might not understand it. You know, it's also not necessarily for them to understand, you know, as long as it's kind of bringing you that fulfillment and scratching that itch and it's not taking you away from your responsibilities. I don't personally see anything wrong with that. At Tony underscore Ghana said, because I knew I would learn more about myself and my mistakes rather than following my family's straight paths. Absolutely. And it's funny because I think our parents are always trying to protect us, right? And that's a beautiful thing. Like, God bless them. But at the end of the day, like, mistakes are also necessary. Like, having a couple fuck-ups, of course, not anything that, like, ruins your life, but having a couple slip-ups along the way, you know, making a few wrong decisions, misjudging a few things, like, all of that stuff to me is a necessary part of learning and becoming a more full person, you know? And listen, I've made plenty of mistakes. I've had so many fucking failures, you know what I mean? You're talking about, even if you're talking about my career, like, man, 15 years of like failure after failure after failure. But like each time I was getting better, you know, to me, that's like, you know, the reps in the gym, you know? And I tried to utilize those failures as an education process. And like, if I didn't have those failures, I can definitely say without a shadow of a doubt, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you. You know, like all of that was necessary. All that taught me necessary lessons to get to this place that I'm at right now. And I'm definitely going to end up failing along the way. But again, it will all be completely necessary. And you can't protect people from that. You know, this idea of like taking the straight and narrow or easy route, like that doesn't make sense to me. Because listen, I've seen that happen when it came to my dad and his job. That easy route he took, you know, when the economy went in the shitter, it was like my dad unfortunately lost his job. You know what I mean? So, and that was the safe job. So it's like your job can be taken away from you at any point, you know, even if you have a quote unquote safe job. So why not try and do something that at least fulfills you? Because this world is so unpredictable. There is no real, you know, safe, foolproof route that you'll never experience some sort of failure or some sort of hardship, you know? So to me, it's like, man, it's okay to kind of take some of those hits and some of those L's, you know, on this path. At least you're doing things and you're trying to do things that fulfill you, and you're learning so much more about yourself, and you're going to be that much more of a complete person at the end of it. Let's see. This was a longer one. She DM'd me to also read the full one at Caricia_Rod. I'll just kind of condense it a little bit. First, she said, love the podcast. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. But she said, I would say I'm the black sheep of my family. Always been different emotionally and mentally. And yeah, like I relate to that 110%. I think for me, I've always been somebody that's a bit more in touch with my emotions and my feelings than my parents, you know. And not to say they don't have that in them, but definitely they never expressed it in the way that I do, you know what I mean? And definitely like me trying to really hone in and understand like how important it was to understand where certain emotions came from, or even just being like so, I don't know, having this sort of emotional intelligence that of being aware of things maybe a little bit more, you know. I kind of feel like there's different levels to things, you know, not to say that my parents aren't intelligent. I think emotional intelligence is a very different thing. I think when you're like emotionally intelligent, it's really hard to explain. I think some people call it like being like an empath. Like you kind of feel things a little bit more, right? Like you can really read a room a little bit more. And a lot of times, like the problems of the outside world or the things around you, they tend to affect you a little bit more than the average person. You know, when you are somebody who's a bit more in touch with your emotions, you just kind of feel things a little bit more, you know? I mean, for me, it's like, I think it's part of why I'm so interested in helping people, and why, like, when I read certain comments like this one or one of the ones where the gentleman was talking about like his family not supporting his dreams and people not understanding like that he's not feeling fulfilled in his life, all that stuff like genuinely like makes me feel something physically, you know what I mean? Like I just relate to it so much, and I think that is a part of kind of being a bit more in touch with your emotions and the emotions of others, you know. So it's definitely something that when you're younger and you don't have the vocabulary or like the understanding of kind of what all that stuff is, and knowing that like some of us have that, some of us don't, it's definitely incredibly difficult to kind of be around your family if they don't share in that and don't kind of understand, you know, the way that you're processing emotions and feelings and things like that. It's, and especially you hear people being like, stop being so sensitive. You know what I mean? Like stupid shit like that, especially as a male, you hear a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, suck it up, you know, all that kind of stuff, that bullshit that we're taught as kids, you know. You know, if you're in a household that doesn't have people who can kind of relate to you on that level, it's definitely, man, it's definitely a very lonely feeling. And one of the ones I wanted to answer before I got out of here as well, because somebody posed a question to me, was Sal_or_Chava once again chimed in and said, are you still seen as the black sheep by your family after your success? Do they get you now? So I talked about this a bit on the first episode. I had my parents kind of like tell me the moment they were like, realized that maybe I was okay, that like I was actually creating a career out of this. And ironically, my mom was basically like, yeah, it was like just a year ago, essentially. So, I mean, I guess now they definitely don't see me as the black sheep of the family. I think they're definitely looking at me proud that, you know, I've kind of carved out my own path. And while I took a bit of the long way, I still was able to achieve a lot of those traditional things that they wanted, like buying a home and everything like that. I think they definitely can appreciate the fact that I've done it my way, you know. And I think that retrospectively now, looking back and them having had front row seats to this crazy ride of mine, I think that they definitely kind of understand it all a bit more and definitely don't view me as this sort of weirdo like outsider anymore, for sure. But listen, I mean, like I said, I've been at this for like 15 years, you know, since I was a teenager, you know. So you're talking a really long time of like everybody making me feel like I was wrong in this. Like I even remember a friend of mine, and I was like in my mid-20s, a friend of mine, we were like out to lunch one time, and he was kind of just like, so what are you doing with yourself, man? Like, he was trying to give me like one of those like pep talks, like, maybe it's time to like hang it up and like, you know, and go do something else, you know? And it was just one of those things. I remember kind of being like a bit angry with him because it was just kind of like, if you only knew, like, I really can't do anything else. You know what I mean? Like, this is the only thing in this life that really brings me this sense of fulfillment, you know? I genuinely wish I was one of those people who could clock in 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and just like enjoy that and be okay with that. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way for me. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think a lot of people in my life, not just my parents, treated me as a bit of this like black sheep, you know? And you know, and listen, like I said earlier in the show, I can't judge people for that because I understand it's hard if you're not able to relate to that situation. It's hard to understand what the fuck this person is like thinking and if their plans actually make sense or if it's just nonsense, you know? So I'm not holding any angst. So to answer your question in a short way, no, my parents no longer look at me as the black sheep of the family. They definitely accept all that I'm doing. And even like, you know, give me a break if I show up late to a family function because they just know how, you know, crazy my schedule is. So I think they've definitely embraced my life a little bit more. And it's definitely just a beautiful thing, but definitely took a very, very, very long time for that to happen. And with that said, I appreciate everybody who chimed in on the conversation. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, at DJ Dramos on Instagram, I always pose these questions in my stories. So it'll be for our Tuesday episode and as well as our Thursday episode, your chance to get involved in the show, have your voice heard. So make sure you follow me on there to be a part of the conversation. And now let's close things out, man. Let's kind of wrap everything up into a bit of a neat bow, as I like to say, in a segment I call Conclusion Stew.
Time for Conclusion Stew.
All right, so I got to say, this definitely brought up a lot of like emotions for me, kind of running down this stuff. And even just like reading like what the professionals are saying when they describe it and like relating to it so much, kind of like really does validate what I was feeling and definitely brings up a lot of old kind of feelings and wounds. But I think in a good way, it's good to talk this stuff out and to just put it out there and kind of get it off your chest. But I think for me, you know, in saying that, the biggest takeaway from it all is, I think, understanding that not everybody is going to get you. You know, even people who are so close to you, like your family, you know, like you are literally the spawn of your mother and father. But at the end of the day, they're not you and you're not them, you know? So as hard as it is, and it will be incredibly difficult, especially as you're growing up and you don't have parents who necessarily are the type who are like, hey, I don't get it, but like, do your thing, kid. You know, if you don't have those types of parents, it's going to be really fucking difficult. I'm not going to lie to you, you know, but there definitely is a light at the end of the tunnel, because I think oftentimes it is those people, those quote unquote weirdos, that end up doing the great things in this life. Or at the very least, end up doing things that genuinely make them happy. You know, they don't get caught in the trap of like just doing what society tells them they're supposed to be doing. You know, there are a lot of really miserable people out there, sadly, who just went down the safe route and sort of suppressed that originality that they had inside of them. And no shame to them. You know what I mean? I it's never too late to kind of turn that around. But I just use that as like a cautionary tale and to understand just how important it is for you to really embrace that part of yourself, you know, embrace your weirdness, your uniqueness, this sort of part of you that nobody seems to get. Like, that's your meal ticket. That is what will get you exactly what you want in this life. And as lonely as it feels, you know, for you growing up, understand that your tribe does exist somewhere out there. Like, there's probably there's a fucking podcast out there of people who like love My Little Pony. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's probably a real thing. Actually, I know that's a real thing. They're called like Ronies or something like that. I think I went to a party one time of this, and it's people who just fucking love My Little Pony. Like, and to the average person, that's probably one of the weirdest fucking things they could ever think of in their entire life. But to them, it's like the coolest shit ever. And like, they genuinely have a group of people all around the world who are super into this, and they have a place where they feel genuinely at home. So I just remind you, you know, especially those who are currently going through this, like, understand that there are people out there like yourself who believe in the same things or are into the same things. You just have to, you know, embrace who you are and not be afraid to speak on it, and you will begin to attract those people and find yourself in those circles. And a little like side dish on this conclusion, Stu, understand that everybody's just trying to do the best that they can, right? So I've talked about this before, but like, we have to let go of also this anger that we have for our parents. And obviously there are certain circumstances that are egregious, and I'm not going to tell you how to live your life in that. But for the average sort of conversation that we're talking about when it comes to just parents who don't really get you, don't necessarily support your dreams, you know, that kind of stuff, like, you know, have a little grace with them because they are not educated necessarily on the things that you enjoy. You know, they don't know about the world that you exist in or that you want to exist in, or they might not just fully understand your interests. So a lot of times with people, especially as we get older, change seems a bit scary. Things that are different seem a bit scary. Things that are different than what we're used to seem a bit scary. So of course, they're going to kind of push against that. And also, you know, like my mom said, you know, at the end of the day, she thought by pushing against what I was trying to do, that she was actually going to be protecting me in the long run from just like this very, you know, terrible life. So how can I be mad at that? You know, it was done out of love. And as much as, you know, I wish that things maybe were a little bit differently, at the same time, I also wear these scars like as a, you know, a badge of honor because they've helped shape me into the person that I am today and provide me with the probably necessary tenacity and just like unwillingness to quit or unwillingness to accept no for an answer. All of those traits, all those characteristics are all things that like I needed to have in my tool belt in order to find success in this field. So at the end of the day, I'm grateful that things, you know, panned out the way that they did. And I firmly believe that if you begin to embrace these sort of ideas, you'll eventually get to a place in life where you're happy that your path happened the way that it did, you know, regardless of how lonely it might have been for a long time. I'm a firm believer of that. As long as you keep going down this like path of things that make you happy, you'll eventually find what you're looking for, man. And with that said, that's it. Another episode in the books. Thank y'all so much for the continued support. It means the absolute world to me. And as a friendly reminder, I already gave you my whole thing about conclusions too, but if you're listening to this podcast, you were an outsider like me, and now you have a home. So just take that as a reminder that like, yo, a space does exist for you. You don't have to change yourself or anybody else. All right, now I'm really done. I appreciate all the love and support, man. At DJ Dramos, you want to be a part of the conversation. You want to be a part of Thursday's episode and the future episodes that I have going up. You can tap in right there. And man, until next time, be safe. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace. Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.